This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, September 20th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The U.S. Department of the Interior announced Friday it will move headquarters for the Bureau of Land Management back to Washington, D.C. Maggie Mullen has more.
Just last year, the BLM headquarters was moved to Grand Junction, Colorado. The Trump administration said that it would put decision makers closer to the land and resources they manage. But the move caused hundreds of employees to either quit or retire. And of those that did relocate out west, only three landed at the new headquarters. The BLM says it won't be leaving Grand Junction altogether. According to a press release, the department plans to make that office into what it's calling its, quote, official Western headquarters. Ed Shepard of the Public Lands Foundation says this new plan will bring some much-needed stability to the agency.
Hopefully, they'll involve the employees in how they do this, and it sounds like they intend to do that.
Interior Secretary Deb Haaland says moving the agency back to D.C. will make sure leaders are part of important budget and policy decisions. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters made her first public appearance in Grand Junction Thursday since her office became the subject of investigations into an election security breach. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports Peters spoke to supporters at a church and vowed to fight the probes. She also criticized Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, who banned Peters from managing the upcoming November election. Griswold alleges Peters allowed an outsider to look at sensitive voting machine data earlier this year. Peters maintains she did nothing wrong. You can hear KVNF's interviews with Jenna Griswold and Sentinel reporter Charles Ashby at KVNF.org. Colorado Republicans voted Saturday not to opt out of next year's open primaries. That means the state's 1.7 million unaffiliated voters will still have the opportunity to help select the GOP's 2022 general election candidates. The party's central committee met in Pueblo with 241 voting against opting out and 172 voting in favor. The Colorado Sun reports party leaders are trying to preach unity ahead of next year's elections, but one conservative talk radio host said as he argued in favor of opting out, quote, should Republicans and only Republicans be choosing our general election candidates, or do we continue the steady decline? Another Colorado talk radio host, Bob Enyart, a self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, died of COVID-19 last week. He recently urged a boycott of COVID vaccines. The former director of Colorado Right to Life used his broadcast platform to mock AIDS victims by name and once called for the death penalty for women who have abortions. As the number of COVID cases in Colorado schools has skyrocketed this month, state epidemiologist Rachel Herlihy is touting the effectiveness of masks at preventing infection. She's encouraging parents to mask children in school and in other indoor public spaces. She said, quote, the risk to children right now is higher than it's ever been during the pandemic because of the Delta variant being more transmissible. Montrose Memorial Hospital has so far lost 6 to 10 employees because of the new state mandate that hospital workers either receive a COVID vaccine, obtain an exemption, or undergo 2 COVID tests per week. That's according to hospital CEO Jeff Mengenhausen in a story by the Montrose Press. COVID-specific emergency room admissions at MMH between July and mid-August were 27. 22 of those patients were unvaccinated, 4 were vaccinated adults in their 80s, and 1 was vaccination status unknown. Staff-to-patient ratios vary across hospital departments, but when exceeded, patients must be transferred. Capacity has gotten so bad in the region, MMH gets calls from Kansas. Idaho, with a vaccination rate of just 40%, implemented crisis standards of care on Thursday. Those standards tell hospital workers how to ration care now that they're running low on resources and beds. Montana's largest healthcare system, Billings Clinic, announced Wednesday it was preparing to enter crisis standards of care. So is Intermountain Healthcare, serving Idaho, Utah, and Nevada. Here's Administrator Ben Smalley.
Our projections are that this is not, coming to an end in the next week or so.
Cody Regional Hospital in Wyoming initiated crisis standards of care earlier this month. About a quarter of Colorado's vaccine-eligible population remains unvaccinated. A poll released last week by the Colorado Health Foundation found that among those folks, 54% say they will not get a vaccine. Another 22% say they're unsure if they want to get one. And 21% say they either want to get a vaccine right away or plan to get one at some point but want to wait a little longer. For many, vaccine hesitancy has hardened into vaccine resistance. People who identify as very conservative, who attend religious services regularly, or who are registered Republicans are most likely to say they definitely will not get vaccinated. Vaccine resistance also runs high among people who are uninsured, people who are white, and men who do not have a four-year college degree. Supply chain disruptions during the pandemic have hit farmers hard. The Colorado Sun reports shortages of equipment and supplies have translated to spiking prices. Tires and machinery are hard to locate. The prices for fertilizer, fuel, and fungicides have nearly doubled. Colorado farmers were already battling drought conditions and narrow profit margins. Price increases and delays come with a shortage of truck drivers, along with warehouse and dock workers. Foreign tariffs have complicated the supply chain picture. Phosphate fertilizers come from Morocco and Russia, while nitrogen fertilizers are imported from Trinidad and Tobago. Fertilizer accounts for more than a third of operating costs for major U.S. crops. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has projected the price of fertilizer will rise another 5% in 2022, even without new tariffs. Chemicals used in pesticide compounds increasingly come from China, and it's a top market for U.S. agricultural exports. The U.S. has been locked in a trade war with China, so tariff rates on exports and imports are high, around up to 20%. Harvest time is upon us, and Colorado State University County Extension agents are helping farmers and gardeners in our region. KVNF's Kate Redmond learns more from Yvette Henson, County Director for the San Miguel Basin.
The Colorado State University system maintains extension offices in all counties. I spoke with Yvette Henson, who is the County Director and Agriculture, Horticulture, and Natural Resources Agent for the San Miguel Basin in Montrose County. She outlined some of what they offer.
Traditionally seen as agriculture, and two of our biggest programs are 4-H, overseen by Extension in each state, and then the Master Gardener Program, that is overseen by Extension.
As the harvest comes in, Extension agencies teach classes and offer resources on canning, dehydrating, and fermentation of food. But as Yvette Henson told me, canning at altitude comes with adaptations.
For water bath canning, if you're at a higher elevation, you have to increase the time that you process the jars. And that just means, like, when they come to a boil in the water bath, you start timing it, and it can be quite a bit more time. That's so confusing, because if you read even a fact sheet from Colorado, it'll give you the time at a certain elevation. So you have to look it up. And if you're pressure canning, which is what you do for low acid foods, you have to increase the pressure. It's the same amount of time that you process, but you have to increase the pressure. So they don't always recommend that you pressure can above 9 or 10,000 feet because it's really hard to maintain the appropriate pressure.
The Extension website is extension.colostate.edu. They also offer recursos en español. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.